was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He'd have me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of, I realize His grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away, and you don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face, and darkness tried to steal my heart away. But thank you, Jesus, then mercy said no. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save us. From the cross He built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts there is still a war that rages, that makes the sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed all so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption,
I text a pastor. He's over there in Las Vegas. He's doing a funeral over there. I told him this is the last time he got doing this kind of thing, running out of town. And called me on Wednesday. You got a sermon in your pocket? The Lord is blessed. And certainly we've had a great, great time this morning. Amen. And the praise team looked like they were really enjoying everything. And I hope that it was radiating with you as well, that they were certainly praising God. And that was a good thing. And I imagine when we get to heaven, I guess it's going to be something like that. I mean, it cannot shut you up, because you're just praising God, just glad to be there. And seeing all the friends and everybody. And most of all, you're surprised that you're there. And that's what it is. This month is Black History Month. And I thought that I would do a black woman in the Old Testament, Zipporah. And this was Moses' wife. And she was an Egyptian. And she was very, very beautiful. Matter of fact, beauty and they said she was kind of flighty. And we'll get into the story there as to how she got that name there. But we want to look at Moses and Zipporah. And we find here in Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, and it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now Moses was on his way back to Egypt. They stop off at a little rest place, and now the Lord wants to kill him. Well, we're going to get into this story and find out the reason why. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, again, we just invite your spirit to be with us and lead and guide us accordingly. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank thee. Amen. We're acquainted with the story of Moses when he was there in Egypt, and he saw one of the Egyptians mistreating one of the Hebrews, so he took matters into his own hands, and as a result, he killed him. And so he looked around to the left, to the right, and everything. And seeing no one, he thought, buried the man. And then a day or so later, he saw two Hebrew fussing and fighting. And he goes to try to break that up. And he said, well, what you going to do with us? Kill us like you did the Egyptians? Now he was afraid, because they knew about it. And certainly he figured Pharaoh must have knew about it. And so he takes off running, as it were, and he's wandering, I guess, for days out there, and he finds himself at a well. He's tired, he had a drink, and he's trying to get himself together as to what he wants to do, and then he hears all these sheep coming and everything, and notice that the young ladies were coming and they were getting ready to water their sheep. But then here come some other men. They were other shepherds, but they were bullies. And so they ran the ladies off the well in order to do their flock. But Moses stepped in. And as a result, he overpowered them, as it were. And the girls was able to come and to water their sheep and everything. And so when they got back home, her father said, whoa, it usually takes you guys a number of hours to do it. What happened? And so she began to explain. She said, this Egyptian prince was there, and the other bully guys, they were there trying to run us off and everything, but he took care of the situation, and, that's what happened. And so Jethro said, well, where is he? You mean you didn't invite him? And by the time he said that, Zipporah was out the door. She was gone just like a bird, just whoosh, out there to get this man, Moses, and to bring him to the house and to have dinner. And as things would go, he kind of wanted to stay there with them. And over a period of time, Jethro gave Zipporah to Moses as his wife. And they had two sons. And when they had the first son, Moses was okay. I remember what he said in Genesis chapter 17, speaking about how that the child should be circumcised by his eighth day. And so he did it. And Zipporah was just horrified. "You gonna do this to my baby?" The baby's crying and everything, and she was just livid, you know, that how could he do such a thing? And how barbaric it must have seemed to her. But it was part of God's covenant that he had made with Abraham. And it was so strict that if you didn't do it, you would be cast out. You would find yourself on the outside, as it were. You'd be cut off from the rest of the group. And that meant that you couldn't get into the promised land, or you wouldn't go to heaven because of the covenant. And I think we look at ourselves today, and what covenant do we have with God? He asked you to keep the fourth commandment. What's that dealing with? The Sabbath. Amen? You sure you hear? Okay. We're dealing with the Sabbath, and that's the highlight of the Ten Commandments, is keeping the Sabbath, because in it you have the seal, as it were, the name of God and what he is, the creator, and over where he has his dominion over heaven and earth. That's all there in the fourth commandment. And if you keep it, there is a blessing. Amen? And it just doesn't mean just showing up at church. It means that we keep it reverently, that our thoughts and our minds are focused on just him during these hours. Amen? But we find ourselves sometimes kind of wandering. But anyway, Moses was been called to go back to Egypt. And when God first called him, he had a lot of complaints. "I speak slowly. They're not going to believe me. They don't know who you are," and all this. And so he just kept on with this here. And the Lord lost, he got angry at him, as it were. "You know, don't worry about it. What do you have in your hand?" He said, "I got a staff." And so he said, "Throw it on the ground." And he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And I would imagine it was a cobra that it turned into. And then he said, "Well, pick it up by the tail." Now, I'm quite sure that you didn't want to pick it up in nowhere. But Moses, by faith, reached out and touched it. And as he touched it, it turned back into the staff that it was before. And he said, "You know that I'm with you. And if they ask me who sent me, what am I going to say?" And he said, "What? I am." And so he let them know that who God really was doing this. And so while he was preparing to get back to Egypt, we find here in Ezekiel, Exodus chapter 4, verse 24, I just read the first part of it, that as it came to pass, he was at an end. It really wasn't an end per se, it just was a watering stop where they would stop and rest and relax. And usually they would share things with other people that was also relaxing there too, getting refreshed with the water. But God sought to kill him. He was asleep, and maybe it was like that Jacob experience, that he wrestled with God that night. It was something going on, and Zipporah had a flash of what in the world is going on that her husband seemed to be in this great struggle here, and she immediately recognized the problem. With her complaining about the circumcision of her first son, they didn't do it to her second son. And Moses was on his way back to Egypt to take the people to the away from Egypt so they could worship God. And so in preparing to do that, God was saying, look, if you haven't kept my strict covenant, that if you don't do it to your smallest son, your youngest son, then he was going to take Moses' life. And then Zipporah, in the verse 25, she took a small stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely you are a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. And I guess he must have been struggling with someone there. But she took action because she recognized that if she didn't do it, Moses was going to be dead. And probably her youngest son as well. And so she did what she had to do. We are people, we have been called to set people free, as it were, when Moses was, the same thing Moses was doing. Going to Egypt to get the people out of bondage and so that they can worship God and go into the promised land. And we also have been called to do the similar, the same thing. We're to take the gospel to Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world and to warn them. Problem is, if you're not together or have your life in harmony with God, the problem is you could be killed before you get there, because God means exactly what he says. Amen. And when Zipporah saw the situation, she immediately recognized that this has to be done, that the son had to be circumcised, and as a result, the intruder was vanquished, as it were, and then the fighting was over. But today, are we experiencing some of the same thing, but really don't know that we're in a battle? Some of us just don't realize it, that we're struggling around here. We looked at talked about our membership, 681 on the book. It should be standing room only in here. But somehow, people left, people gone, different things, and we're just not aware do we actually miss them? It just seems that we want to do this work, but we have other issues that's preventing us from doing it. And part of the problem, maybe we aren't paying the faithful tithes that we should. Remember, we talked about it, that there was only about 20% that are really supporting the church. And then the other 80% is a hit and miss type thing. The thing is, you don't trust God. You look at your little money and you say, well, I can add and I can subtract, and I know that this year can only go so far. But when Jesus puts his hands on the money, what happened when he put his hands on the fish and the little loaf? What happened? So much so, how many people did he feed? Over 5,000. And then they picked up how many baskets full? Now that's the kind of God you serve. And if you are worried about you looking at the money, but that's you. But you have to let God put his hands on the money. Amen? Part of that is just being faithful with your tithes and with your offering. And it's the trust that you have with God. And that's where the blessing is. And then again, maybe it's our health message. Well, you know, I know certain things we shouldn't eat, but Brother Carlisle cooked such a good pie. Well. But the thing is, maybe we can eat something in moderation. But even health reform, we have to be exactly on as what we are doing, because we're representing God, and we're supposed to be taking the message to the world. Amen. Keeping the Sabbath is one of those things. We find ourselves drifting, wandering, doing things. Well, they did it before, or they doing it now, or whatever it is. But if it's wrong, it's just wrong. Amen? And God said, I want those 24 hours to be with me. And he already tells you that he is a jealous God. And that means he wants all of your attention. Amen? And yet he's offended when your mind wander off on some other thing. And how would you feel there before you got married or whatever it was, or you have your boyfriend and he's trying to talk to you and your mind is wandering all over the place, I mean, not paying attention? Pretty soon he's just going to, hey, wait a minute, this is not worth investing in because you're not paying attention to what's going on. And so the same thing with God. He said, look, I want you to be faithful to me, and I want to make sure that our relationship is communicating with each other. We have to be so very careful that not one spot, not one blemish is on our character. Matter of fact, we find here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that this is where you're supposed to be. That he might present it himself, a glorious church, not having any spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. That's what God wants you to represent him as we spread this gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're not that away, we ourselves are close to being cut off. Amen? We're not representing him right. We're not trusting him. We're not sharing the Sabbath with him completely. We'll do some of this, and our mind wanders here and everything else. And he said, I just want you all to myself. And I want you to trust me. And yet we find ourselves, we have wrinkles. We have blemishes. We have spots of different traits that we're doing. Maybe some things are traditional. Well, this is the way we always did it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. Amen? And so God is saying, if you're going to represent me, especially in these last days, we must be spotless. We must be without wrinkle. We must be a holy people. And as we were talking about, Ms. Monique was talking about Christian education. How essential it is that you train up your child in the way of the Lord. Because at one point, you're going to have to go to them and say, it's time to go. And they're going to just laugh you to scorn. Because you have placed them in this situation, in this worldly situation, and yet they're not going to be responding as you think they should. Well, they do come to church. But their minds is being flooded with other things. And when you get ready to, it's time to go, they're not moving. They're not doing anything. And what do we do when we have a situation where we want to do right, want to find a way to rightly represent God, but we have flaws? How do we correct those? How do we make ourselves holy without blemish? that's where you have to be, because if you're not there, you're going to be cut off. That's just plain and simple. You're not going to make it. And as we look at our church and the empty pews, and he said, I'm not going to bless anyone to come in as long as you've got all those spots, all those wrinkles, all those blemishes. I'm not going to bless you. And the thing is, we sit here and we act like it's normal. It's okay. But it's not. He said, I'm coming soon. Amen. And he wants everybody to be ready. And the thing is, if we haven't made the change, then when? If not now. Sister Betty Kelly, it was just an unexpected death. And I went up and talked to Ronald the other day up there in Fresno. He was the one that was driving. And he said some other car knocked the car into their lane, and then he hit him head on full force, and himself was in the front seat, and then another man named Jim was in the front seat, but Betty was just sitting in the back seat. There was no broken windows, no accident, no crumbling of the car in the back seat, but somehow she died. And he said, we prayed before we left. They was on their way to the prison. And you would expect, well, okay, the Lord is watching over me and keeping me. He's going to take care of her. The biggest problem is we do not understand the plan of redemption as to what it calls for. God said, in this thing of sin, I have lost a third of my angels, my loving angels. I lost a third of them, plus one. Also, it has cost the life. My son had to die because of sin. And he says, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to rid the whole universe of sin. And so that it will never arise again. And yet we just think, well, it's just us here on this earth. No, it's bigger. It includes the other worlds, the angels, but God himself. He said, every time someone falls, it's a result of sin. I feel the impact of it. We feel the impact of those that are lost. And the thing is, God said, I just want this thing over with as soon as possible. But we're the people that's supposed to be helped doing the work. If we got all these spots, wrinkles, and blemishes, and if our worship service sometime is unacceptable to God, what are we going to do? The thing is, we have to repent for what we do, what we haven't done, and change our lives. Amen? This, you know, it's not going to, with the outcome of the president's election thing that's going on, who knows? But by the time we get to the end of 2017, the Lord might be here for sure. We just don't know, because we don't know what they're going to do. How weird and crazy the president candidates are, and what will they do to change things and to mold things, and well, let's get rid of this group and get rid of that. Lot's gonna happen, amen. The thing is, we ourselves have to trust God, and if we're not doing it, that means that this work that we're supposed to be doing, Moses was on his way to Egypt to do the God's bidding, to get his people out of Egypt, get them to the promised land. But he had omitted something, and God reminded him of it. And for the good thinking of Zipporah, she was the one that actually saved his life by doing the act of circumcising her youngest son in order for him to continue on representing God, but God was going to actually kill him if the thing wasn't done. The same thing with you. He said, look, I want you to do what you're supposed to be doing, rightly representing me, without spots, without wrinkles, without blemishes. Amen? Part of that process can start by us renewing our commitment to God. Amen? That's the step. And if that's where you want to go, why don't you just stand with me of recommitment that I know we're supposed to be spreading this gospel. I know I'm supposed to be doing better than I am. I've been in the church for a long time. And to accept things as status quo is dangerous. I know we're just like the Laodicean church. I have need of what? Thinking we have need of nothing. But we're wretched, naked. That's our condition. And this commitment, it has to be with yourself, talking with God yourself, and looking over your life. I know I can make improvements in my life. What I eat, what I drink, I can be more faithful with my tithes and offering. I can keep his Sabbath holy. Amen? And some of these other things, that I haven't done, I want to change them and do better now. Amen? We don't want to be lost in this shuffle. No way, no shape or form. But for certain, if we do not change, we will be cut off. The children of Israel thought they had it all going for themselves. Yet they found themselves completely out of it. And we're the ones, and yet we find ourselves where we keep telling you the condition of the Laodicean church, hoping that you wake up and realize that we can do better than what we're doing. Amen? And we're planning for homecoming. And this is a time to reach out to those who once walked with us. And we want to save them as well. And we want them to feel welcome. And with this homecoming, we are hoping that we will have some baptisms. Amen? And so when we have homecoming, we have plenty of time to prepare for it. For friends that you know that haven't been walking with us, invite them. Amen? Not only are we going to wait till homecoming to do that, that's in October, but we can still invite them to come to church, amen? We miss them, we want to fellowship with them and be a part of that. And so we just now go, well, I'll just hold this until October. No, you want to get on this now and really love them and let them know that they're missed and that they're being loved here at Southside. Amen? But we have to do better ourselves as members. We have to. And to just accept things as status quo is just a dead-end street. And there's no way that we want to be like that. Amen? I don't know, maybe this young person that said, look, I haven't quite got myself together yet. I want to be saved. I don't want to be cut off. I want to be trusting God. I want to keep his Sabbath. I want to eat the right things. Maybe they just want to, maybe one of them wants to come down and say, I want to really either get baptized or really express that to God that I am truly on his side and that I have no spots or blemishes. I know that you think and say, well, there will be other sermons. True. But it's always what? It's now is the time. Next Sabbath isn't promised to you. And we certainly found out about that just in the last 2 or 3 weeks of those who have passed on, that They just didn't make it through the other week. And while we still have breath, we pray that you would commit yourself to God, that I will do all within my power to honestly do the things that I should be doing. A lot of this final work would be done by our young people. They will be the ones that's carrying it, but if they're all in the world, it's kind of hard to get them back together or to see the urgency of the need. Well, that's the responsibility of the parents and certainly the church to make sure that they get there, they get taught right, and that they are capable of carrying forth this gospel and finishing this work. I want to have a prayer with you at this time. Maybe some feel that maybe I ought to do more. Maybe it's a rebaptism that's necessary. I don't know. But for certain, if we have these spots, blemishes, wrinkles, we got to get rid of them. Amen? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come before thee at this time thanking you so much for what you're doing to us to help us to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ. You called us into this ministry. I know that some of us have stumbled, some have fell by the wayside. But we ask you, Father, that you will forgive us for where we have fallen short. And that we stand here this morning recommitting ourselves to thee and thy cause. We realize, dear Father, that it's just not the sin problem down here, but it's for the unfallen worlds and for God's world himself and in heaven and for the other angels so that they're fully convinced that God is truly love and that there will be no more sin. And we look forward to that day to be saved in your kingdom. But we're looking and we're asking, dear Father, to help us to overcome these spots, wrinkles, and blemishes that's in our lives. We ask, dear Father, that we will trust you more, that we'll be more faithful with our tithe, that we will be better keeping our Sabbath, as well as the health message, and that we will find ourselves as the most healthiest people, that in our communities, and that they marvel at us as how excellent that we look and how healthy we are. Again, Father, we just thank you for what you've done for us and for the day's blessing. We ask you, Father, that you watch over us throughout this Sabbath. May we continue to give you praise and give you honor. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank thee. Amen.